dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. This show is live video. So if you're just hearing it right now and you're not seeing us, you can go to my website, The Queen of Dreams, or KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, and click up in the right-hand corner where it says Dreaming Healing. And if you are watching and you'd like to call in and talk to me, or my guests during this hour, you can call 646-558-8656. And then the ID number, which is like that long, is 8836-953587. And then you press the pound key. And then you just join the live show with a question by pressing 9, okay? If that's how you're gonna be raising your hand to our producer. If that number was too long for you, it's going to be showing again during the commercials. You can see it at that time and write it down. So if you missed last week's show, Prophetic Dreams of Pets, Feathers, and Monks, oh my, it's in the archives on my Dreaming Healing website page. You can just Google Kat Canavis, Dreaming Healing, and it'll take you right there. So welcome to our expert panel. Tonight, we've got some really great guests for you. Parenting and Family During Crisis. Oh, that's perfect for these times, isn't it? During this difficult time of COVID, Dr. Mark Schillinger and Maria Espinoza are going to discuss with us surviving family challenges during a crisis. And they're going to share some professional tips that can help us survive better during this crisis. Sometimes it's not the pandemic that is the only thing we have to deal with. But first, we are going to do our favorite protection and clearing meditation. So if you're driving in the car right now, please don't close your eyes. This will still work. Just listen and everything will be great, okay? So during this meditation, we're gonna imagine using something that is small, but really powerful to you. It can be a piece of jewelry. It can be something that was given to you in a dream by your spirit guides, your guardian angels, a deceased loved one. It can be anything that's small that holds the power of love for you. So if you don't have something from a dream or a deceased loved one, imagine your favorite flower or your favorite crystal or your favorite piece of jewelry and just hold that in your hand. Imagine holding it in your hand as your power tool. Then we're gonna take 3 deep breaths in and we're gonna hold them and imagine any negativity getting into that breath of life. And we're gonna blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. We're gonna do that 3 times. And the reason we're blowing it into the purple flame of Saint Germain is so that we don't litter. We're not even going to litter the spiritual universe. It's going to be converted into beautiful golden light, and it's going to be returned to the universe. Okay? Are you ready? And actually, after we do that, we're going to take our gift, our power gift that we're imagining, And we're going to create a mirrored bubble around us that's only going to allow those things that are of the highest and best to come into our bubble. And everything else is just going to be reflected back. Okay? Ready? Kind of get yourself seated and kind of sit deep wherever you are, on the floor, on the chair, on the bed. Just kind of center yourself. Close your eyes. Feel yourself relaxing. Okay, take a deep breath in, as deep as you can, and hold it. Imagine any negativity connecting to that breath. Blow it out across the room. So you go into that purple flame. Another deep breath in. Hold it. See any other negativities connecting to that breath of life and blow it out across the room. One more time. Deep breath in. Any stubborn little negativity, something someone said to you, something you said to them, something that happened in the family. Blow it out across the room. Right into that purple flame of Saint Germain and see it converted into beautiful golden light, returning to the universe. Now imagine holding your power gift. Swing it around your whole body and see it creating this beautiful mirrored bubble, almost like a bubble that you would get if you were in the bubble bath with all the beautiful colors swirling through it, and it's reflecting back everything that's in the room. Imagine only that which is of the highest and best and brought by your spirit guides can come into that mirrored bubble. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. Kind of move your neck around a little bit. Or you can keep them closed and just listen to me. Our expert panelists tonight are Dr. Mark Schillinger and Maria Espinoza. And they're going to discuss surviving family challenges during a crisis like COVID that we're going through right now. And if you haven't been going through that, I don't know where you are, but I want to be there. And they're going to share some professional tips that can help us save ourselves. Due to the pandemic, challenging economic times, and school closures, both young and adult children are living with their parents much more than before. And this is creating a significant increase in stress in the home. You know, it's like the baby birds have returned to the nest. And families who love each other but don't always have the necessary skills to adapt to these stresses efficiently are suddenly finding themselves living in this toxic home, in this toxic environment, filled with fear, anxiety, conflict, and competition. Our expert panel here tonight is going to help us work through that because these are very difficult times. So let me tell you a little bit about our guests. We have Dr. Mark Schillinger. He's also known as the Teen Whisperer. You've heard of the Horse Whisperer. Well, Dr. Mark is the Teen Whisperer, and he helps young men ignite their inner hero. I love that. He was interviewed by Lisa Ling of CNN for his pioneering work, and Mark is the founder of Young Men's Ultimate Weekend and Challenging Teenage Sons. He's a thought leader, social philosopher, public speaker, community leader, and a chiropractor. Yeah, a chiropractor specializing in mind-body wellness. He's an expert in stress management and the creator of The Right Way. That's trademarked. And it's a method to help families enjoy more caring and cooperative relationships. And you can learn more about him and what he does at www.ymuw.org. All of this information is going to be on my Dreaming Healing website. You can go there. The links are live, and you can click on them if you don't want to go and you know, write them down. You don't have to. You can just go there. So our second guest tonight as the expert panelist is Maria Espinoza. She's an author and says, through any crisis, especially now during the pandemic, we all, especially families, feel isolated and unmoored. Therefore, it's crucial to look out for one another and work through differences and salute what brings us closer together. She became an American book-winning author by using her own life experiences like, are you ready for this? Her love-rage relationship with her mom, who had an affair with her husband. We're going to get to more of that later. Maria shows that we can be resilient and still bring joy and happiness into our lives despite tragedy. And you can learn more about her and her book, which I'm going to have her hold up right now. Maria, you want to hold your book up for us?
Yes.
Next to your beautiful face. And you can learn more about her at mariaespinoza.com, and that's M-A-R-I-E. I'm sorry.
No, M-I-R-I-A.
E-S-P-I-N-O-S-A.com. And again, that's on my website on the Dreaming Healing page. So welcome to both of you, Maria and Dr. Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let's get right into it, because this is going to be such an incredible panel. I know that our audience is probably sitting on the edge of their seat now. Dr. Mark and Maria, you both use very different modalities to help families through crisis. Dr. Mark, you bring young men and you ignite their inner hero. And Maria, you use the power of word in books. You both have incredible stories behind your stories. Dr. Mark, you dealt with drug addiction in your family. And Maria, you dealt with your mother having an affair with your husband. I'm going to ask you both how you overcame this crisis and to share a bit of your story with our audience and whether or not you were able to forgive these atrocities that happened in your families. And Maria, I know that you deal with the Jewish community and that you also deal with atrocities of a different kind. But let's start with you, Dr. Mark. Tell us about what happened in your family that started all this. What is your story behind the story?
Well, the story behind the story of helping young men and helping parents go through rite of passage events to have better relationships began with my relationship with my teen son, Gabe, 20 some odd years ago. I wanted to be the best daddy in the world. I had a great daddy and mommy, but whatever I tried was not working. And I had no idea when my son was a teen that he was experimenting with drugs, drinking alcohol. In my family, there's a history of anxiety, depression, even suicide. So I grew up very anxious as a young man. I knew my son also suffered that way. But the real story is that I felt so depressed at one point that I really felt that sense of like suicide, like, oh my God, I can't raise my family. I was having a hard time with my business at the time, some other things in my life. I just felt like there was no going forward. I really couldn't see how. And at the same time, of course, I had great support from my family and friends. And so it was really a matter of having that strong sense of I am going to do this, if nothing else, for my family. I had been through a difficult divorce with my former wife, Suzanne, which is probably what got Gabe started on this downward spiral. And then when I realized that it was all on me to really bring my family back, it was on me. So I started practicing what I preached. I learned how to stay calm no matter what was happening in my family. I remembered why I fell in love with Suzanne, even though we had been divorced for many years. We both were so dedicated to each other's personal growth and spiritual enlightenment. So we really put that back in our relationship to become best friends again. And we dedicated our relationship to also the health and well-being of our children. So by doing that, not only did Suzanne and I overcome our differences, I definitely was able to overcome all the differences I had with Gabe and my daughter, teen daughter at the time, Becca. And now it's come so far that we have what we like to call the happiest married divorced family in the world. And I actually teach parenting workshops with Suzanne. We love working together and inspiring divorced parents on how to raise happy families.
So you and your ex-wife are working together to help families?
Absolutely. We put on rite of passage events for parents while their sons are at a wilderness rite of passage adventure camp, going through a deep rite of passage for their sons. Suzanne and I are doing the same event in a hotel nearby for the parents.
Mm. Oh, that's amazing. I don't really know of too many ex-spouses that work together well and can actually say they're close enough friends to do what you and your wife are doing. So the next question of whether or not you were able to forgive them, that's kind of superfluous. Obviously the answer is yes, and yes, then some.
Right. And forgive is a great word, because in my world, growing up, I didn't really forgive very well. Mm-hmm. I just found out that if things went on long enough, I would tend to forget them. And yet for my family, it was a matter of forgive. At some point, I wanted to let go of all the stuff I had on the list against Suzanne, against my kids, against anybody and everybody, and really had to use that family crisis as a way for me to get back on my enlightenment path personally, and also inspire me professionally, and most importantly, reunite my family, which it did do.
Oh, what a beautiful ending. Thank you. Maria, let's talk about your story. I mean, when I read that in your information that was sent to me, I thought, oh my goodness, am I reading that right? Did I read that right, Maria?
Yes, but it's a long story. It took me two novels to write it out, which are not featured on this program. One is called Longing, and the other is called Dying Unfinished. And the Dying Unfinished one is written through both my mother's voice and my voice, sort of talking to each other in turn. And certainly there was a lot difficult in my family long before my mother's affair with my former husband. Mm-hmm. I had had a breakdown because we'd had such really, dysfunctional family, to quote a cliche. But anyway, I had met Mario, my husband, in Paris, and he was really a healer. He was a very charismatic, complex kind of guy, and also very troubled, and had a Don Juan complex where he had to seduce every woman in the world that ever moved. And then he met my mother, and I was in the maternity ward at that point, had just given birth to my daughter. And she was, how can I say, very unfulfilled, very unhappy in her own way, a really gifted poet. And I think she just felt that my father just did not see the full spectrum of who she was at all. Oh, she also had a lover at that point. More about the lover later, because he also came into my life later.
And at this during this time when she had the lover and your husband, was she still married?
Yeah, she was very much, she stayed married forever.
They were
more devoted towards the end of their lives. And they each had affairs. My father had his share of affairs too. So they had a pretty open marriage, although it was never talked about as being open. Anyway, so she got to Paris and she was very unmoored. And then she was in the habit, actually, of having affairs with men, one-night stands, affairs, usually very nice, cultivated men who she met in very upscale bars, or men like her lover who were very cultivated, a curator of her museum. So my husband showed her her hotel room, and she said, come in and have a drink, and I guess he pretty much raped her. And I sensed all this the next day. Despite this, my mother was much too much of a lady to scream or make a fuss. It was all hidden. But I immediately sensed it in the room when they came to visit me in the maternity ward. And I was terribly upset, and my milk dried up. I was really terribly upset about it. And I was upset for years. And then I began to explore why my mother had done this and why he had done this. And I ended up really deeply forgiving my mother more than my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I began empathizing. And at one point in the novel, I even wrote, these two people are really twin souls. Why don't they go off together? And in fact, I've often had fantasies that my mother and Mario could have actually somehow, maybe, I don't think they would have made a go of it, but it would have been an interesting couple. I think he was longing for some kind of an older woman with the kind of stability that she could have provided, the kind of emotional maturity that she had, that I didn't have when I was 22.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. So in the end, you did forgive them. Did you forgive them both?
Yes, actually, very much. In fact, I've written novels about both of them. The two autobiographical novels that I wrote are really about each of them and myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. You two are such perfect people for this panel tonight, because it's about crisis, and the audience just saw that you're coming from a place of not having learned about this in a book, but having felt this in life. You experienced this. You lived this. You came through this. So your expertise and what you learned and gained from this is what you're bringing to the panel tonight. And so I just want to really thank you both for sharing very painful stories with our audience, because these may be stories that they can be aligned with. You know, there's a lot going on right now in families with COVID because of the lockdown. Mm-hmm. We've just started to scratch the surface, hearing some of the stories that are coming out. And so the fact that you were both able to forgive and move on. Let me ask you something else quickly. Actually, when we come back from break, I'm going to ask you whether or not you think it's wise to forget. Once you've forgiven, should you forget? But don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing Shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCanavas.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy, answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Canavas, and we are discussing family in crisis with our panelists, Maria Espinoza and Dr. Mark Schillinger. Now, just before the break, I was going to introduce forget, as in forgive and forget. But we had to take the break. So I'm going to ask you now, let's start with you, Dr. Mark. We know from your stories, your amazing stories, that you were able to find forgiveness, which I don't know that a lot of people could, but you did. So I'm going to ask you, is it now important to forget or not?
Well, I can only tell you what's true for me and how and my process and what we like to educate families about, which is two things. I learned this early on from one of my Buddhist teachers, both and can be true at the same time, two things. So on the one hand, because I've been so strongly based in mindfulness for 50 years at this point, forgetting happens naturally because if I'm really focused on staying present, I'm not therefore dwelling on the past. Even though my mind and the emotional attachment to the painful past wants to go there, I'm just staying present. The other thing, the end, is that for me, it's not so much about forgiving, it's about staying in my heart when I'm in relationship. So if I'm loving or if I'm in my heart and I'm present, that combination I find allows me in a sense to forgive, even though I'm not trying to do one gallant act of forgiveness all at once, which I'm not always capable of. However, if I'm staying loving and sincere in my relationships and I'm staying present, then I find that I'm forgiving and loving and forgiving and forgetting all. So one big process, and it may take time, but I know I have that process and it's proven to work for me over the decades.
Excellent. Amazing. What about you, Maria?
I think everything that Mark says is so true, and I wish I could do it. I don't want to forget, because that turns into a dangerous kind of denial. And it can also turn into a dangerous lack of empathy. You know, I did this, get over it. You know, you got hurt, so what? I got over it. But you have to remember, in a sense, to be able to have that sense of compassion and remembrance. At the same time, Mark is totally right about being present and being with your heart. So, yeah, both, really both, being present and moving on. And this is now, this is this instant. I'm this person today. I'm not who I was when I was 3 years old or 5 years old or 25 years old or 45. Mm-hmm. I'm 82 years old, which is amazing. I look at myself and I don't feel, how can I be 82? It's a kind of disassociation or something. I've done a lot of yoga, but still.
I was shocked when I heard that because my goodness, you are the youngest looking 82 I think I had ever seen in my life. Seriously. Oh. I mean, oh my goodness. So let's go back to you, Dr. Mark. What price do you think society pays when we have family members who are out of harmony with each other, especially now?
Well, what I'm seeing in my work with young men and with parents is that everybody's super sensitive now to the extreme polarizations that are happening in our culture. And because of that, I think we're encouraging young people to take part in the polarization. And my fear is that those young people who are so susceptible to what they see on TV and what they see on their devices, which is what's really raising them now, mm-hmm. is that they're seeing a world, by and large, that's founded on hatred, greed, domination. And when families can remember that they're wired for millions of years on how to overcome this kind of adversity, then I do believe that we can have children who are going to be in relationship with the opposite sex and with each other, you know, meeting their family members in their community, that's based on love and cooperation and generosity. And it has to happen in the families. So right now, the families, as you've been saying, are so stressed out that they're forgetting what they're already wired or know how to do.
Mm-hmm. And so same question to you, Maria. What price do you think society pays when our family members are out of harmony with each other? What do you see?
Well, it reverberates outward into the entire world. You know, you have a fight with somebody in your family, you go out and you're brusque or rude or not as nice as you could be to the next person because you're still feeling that rage or that frustration. Mm-hmm. And I think just harmony within the family is so important. I think there's an old Confucius saying, something like, you know, peace in the universe begins with myself, with my very intimate relationships. Yeah, and I think to get this kind of harmony, it's not always that easy. You have to give each other space, especially if you're all cooped up together during COVID. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, to be communicating clearly and to show your vulnerabilities. I think that would have helped a lot in my own family if people had just been more honest, straight with their communication.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think that we're seeing a lot of the emotionally walking wounded, no matter where we go. And fortunately, I'm starting to see something a little different. When the COVID outbreak first happened, people were, I think, so frightened that they had set up a wall around themselves. They didn't want anybody in their space. You couldn't be 6 feet anywhere near them. You couldn't walk past them. It's like they had masks on top of their masks and everybody was scared out of their minds. Now what I'm seeing, if somebody cut them off, whether in a car or even just walking past, there was agitation and there was emotional flare up. Now what I'm seeing is when somebody cuts somebody else off, whether it's in a car or whether they're walking through the supermarket and they cut them off, it's almost like they stop and go, oh, I'm sorry, did I cut you off? No, no, it's okay, it's fine, go ahead. No, 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 you go. And it's like they're almost swinging to the other side where they're really trying to be as generous and helpful and kind to each other as possible, because maybe the realization is finally hitting that the only way we're really going to get out of this is by respecting and loving each other. Mm-hmm. While this is happening to us, we can't go at each other's throats. That's not going to get us through this. What's going to get us through this is, you know, sending kisses across the room and being extra nice to somebody because we know that the situations at home are very difficult. We can even see it on the commercials on the TV where, you know, there's a man all dressed up in his suit. He's trying to have a and up and sticks a sticker on his nose and another one steals a pencil. I mean, it's very difficult right now. So, Dr. Mark, what would you say to our audience to help them get through this difficult time? What is a tip you would give them to help them make it over this finish line? And we're coming to the end of this line. We're coming to the finish line. I can see it. What would you like to say to them?
I would say that every family has to have a way to deal with adversity, a way for parents to lead their children. And in my method, it involves a number of different parts. And it always begins with relaxation. Everybody needs to do simple mindfulness-based techniques that take 10, 15 seconds, mm-hmm. whether the person in the house is 2 or 92, because until everybody can relax, nobody's going to get anything resolved. So we preach and teach mindfulness-based first, no matter how big the argument is and no matter how cramped everybody is. Number two, we teach everybody to have a similar or same communication technique that allows for everybody to say what's true for them without allowing the parents to lose their authority and influence, yet everybody has to feel safe to be seen. That's very important if you want to have peace. Number three, we encourage people to know how to elegantly, skillfully help everybody release all the tension. So if there is an argument, there's a skillful way to release the tension, very ancestral method we teach, so that it's released quickly and then everybody can move on, because that's how we used to do things. And then I would say finally that no matter how severe stress is, we're always teaching families how to rejoice, how to bring gratitude, how to bring ceremonies and events that no matter how dire things appear, that if they know how to celebrate their lives and everybody else's lives and what they actually have, that they can make it through. And part of that is having a gratitude routine, is that we really preach rituals and lifestyle. If people have good rituals every day, they can really tune out the bad stuff and stay focused on the good long enough until they make it through.
Mm-hmm. Those were great, and I agree. One of the things that I did, because I had breast cancer 3 times, and I had to go through all the treatments, is I kept a journal. And I kept a dream journal at night, so because my dreams were a way I connected with myself. But I also kept a journal during the day, because I found that when I would have a low moment, when I would question whether or not I was really progressing in my treatments, if I was really progressing myself, I would actually go back and read the journal maybe 2 weeks or 2 months earlier. And when I would get done reading it, I'd go, oh my gosh, I've come so far. And sometimes we don't realize how far we've come until we go back and read where we were. Mm-hmm. So the same question to you, Maria, what tips would you share for families to use to make it over that finish line? It's right there.
Well, first of all, a sense of humor, a sense of being able to laugh at things. Really important, and just kind of let things go. And I know at one point my daughter and I would get so angry at each other, and then we'd suddenly burst out laughing because it just suddenly seemed hilarious. Or in other points, we both burst out crying. I mean, so it varies. There can be tears, laughter. And again, journaling, I think, is a great way of dealing. That's how I survived as a child, and really how I became a writer was writing things down that I couldn't express and that I felt I had to express to stay sane. And massage, body, mind are important. If you can give each other a gentle kind of a massage, or if you can dance or sing together, anything where you can celebrate anything together, anything like that helps.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, no, and laughter, I so believe in laughter. The last book I did, Crappy to Happy. Yeah, that was the title. And it was during COVID. Crappy to Happy. I talked about the power of laughter. And I learned it from a woman who was my mentor when I was going through all my breast cancer stuff. And she would tell me the worst things that she was going through and laugh hysterically. And suddenly it wasn't so bad. Like when the doctors told her she was actually going blind, she laughed. She said, yeah, they told me I was going blind, so I'm learning Braille while I can see. Well, the moral of the story or the end of this story is she never went blind. She died of old age, but she laughed whenever somebody gave her just horrible news. She would laugh at it, and it brings you up to a higher vibration. And when you're at a higher vibration, you stay healthier. So,
yeah, at the same time, it's important to be able to show your emotions. And if you're angry, to show it and not just grip your lips and go off and sulk. But somehow, if you can express the anger without exploding the whole house or totally demolishing the relationship, there's some way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I mean, can you imagine some of these homes, you know, you're talking about two parents stuck in a house with five kids. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine. I taught special ed for 10 years. I can't imagine being with my children 24/7.
Yeah.
Some of them for almost a year.
Yeah, that would be tough. Really tough. Yeah. There would be blowups. Yeah.
One thing I was going to say, because I agree with you, Maria, as far as humor, in this right way, the right way stands for five virtues: respect, intelligence, grace, humor, and true.
Yeah.
And we give the value or the definition of this virtue of humor as amusement. I'm sorry, celebration with amusement and gratitude. Celebration.
Yeah,
and when we're talking to children and their parents, we define amusement as not musing. Turn off the thinking. Stop psychologicalizing. And so by doing so, yes, one of the ways, of course, of humor is laughter, absolutely. Meditation is a form of humor because you're not necessarily psychologicalizing, you're not thinking. There's many ways to bring humor. And we always say that's the great relief valve for families. When in doubt, bring humor.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. We've got to take another break, so don't go away. We're going to be right back. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com, and I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but my friends all call me Kat, so I hope you will too. You can find out more about me at the Queen of Dreams. Just put it into Google search, and I'll come up. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams?
join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCanavas.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy, answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the third and the last segment of our show tonight with our expert panelists, Maria Espinoza and Dr. Mark Schillinger. And we're talking about parenting and family during crisis. So if you would like to send me any messages or share some questions with me, you can always go to my website, KathleenO'KeefeCanavas.com or The Queen of Dreams, and send me your whatever you're thinking, whatever questions you would like me to send to our panel. I'm happy to do that. So just before the break, we were continuing to talk about, you know, being stuck in the house with five kids during COVID and crisis. But I wanted to ask Dr. Mark, how did you get the title or the nickname, the Teen Whisperer? Who gave that to you?
A lot of parents have. And I consider myself a teen whisperer, not the teen whisperer, because there's lots of great mentors out there helping young people. That said, when I was going through a really difficult time with my son Gabe, I decided to start a nonprofit called the Young Men's Ultimate Weekend. One of the things that I figured out was our culture was missing rite of passage, and our culture was missing village. We didn't have mentors anymore. That certainly by the age of 12, 13, 14, children are supposed to be released into their community or tribe, and the tribe has the same virtues and values and behaviors they expect. So it's not so stressed out in that home. So we're missing mentors and the village of mentors. And so I created one for myself. I was very selfish 20 years ago, and that we've had, you know, 500 or 600 men over this last 20 years volunteer. Many of them, and I mean it sincerely, many of the same men started with me 20 years ago because I wasn't the only father having a hard time raising their son. So many men and women, for that matter, put the nonprofit together. We announced it. We had no money, no budget. And there was 205 young men who showed up at this Boy Scout camp here in Marin County. So I knew I was not the only father. I knew a rite of passage was something that was going to help. And that's what I learned. And that's what I teach, is that we have to have more mentors. We have to have a village to have our children go to, especially in a time of COVID, whether it's online you know, or live, those young people at 12, 13, 14, certainly 15, they already know what their parents are teaching. They already got the download. When they hear it from other people who are saying it in ways that are not so apprehensive about the young person's ability to make in the world like their parents are, they're going to hear that message. And if they see it modeled by a village of people, it doesn't take them very long to get that here's how I can be out in the world. The main thing, though, for mentors and what makes us so successful and why I got the moniker Teen Whisperer is because I'm a black belt at helping young people discover who they are. So we have an expression at work that goes like this: conformity without authenticity is anarchy, meaning I'm a teen whisperer because I first help young people discover what's true for them about who they are. What are their virtues? And when you help people discover who they are, then they're way more likely to then want to give to their family and give to their community. So helping them make it in the outside world first comes from, we want you to discover who you are and both and learn the virtues and values and behaviors you're going to need to make it in the outside world. So young people get that. They just don't want to do it unless they're clear that you're there to help them discover who they are authentically.
Mm. Ah, that's great. Maria, I know that you, from everything I read about you, you work closely with the Jewish community and the Holocaust victims also. It's interesting because I actually visited Dachau, which is right outside of Munich. I went to Munich American High School. I was born and raised in Europe. And I have to tell you, that was some experience going into Dachau, because just as love leaves residue on everything, I call it love residue. You can feel something that's been loved, a piece of jewelry, a piece of clothing, it vibrates with love. What I felt vibrating in Dachau was not love. There was a big vibration, but it was not love. It was very scary. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how this, again, weaves into family, because the Jewish community is very, very family oriented.
Well, let me say, first of all, I think what Mark was saying about rite of passage is so essential. Mm-hmm. And women have a more of a sort of a biological change, but they don't really have a rite of passage. And my family was Jewish, but they were not religious at all. In fact, they almost tried to deny it. And as a result, I ended up having Jewish themes, all unconsciously putting Jewish themes into all my novels, trying to recover something that had perhaps been lost, that I needed to recover to find some kind of wholeness. My brothers, I felt really sad. Neither of them had a bar mitzvah. And I think they both would have benefited greatly from having that, which is a kind of a rite of passage in itself, and they didn't have it. My daughter did have a bar mitzvah. My parents refused to come, and it was fine. All my friends came. It was sad that my parents, my mother especially, didn't want to have anything to do with it, but that was it. And I think my daughter, even though she didn't stay being very religious, I think it helped her to have that sense of the rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, you're right.
About being Jewish, again, I was married to somebody who went through the Holocaust. And I think that was a lot of my book is based on knowing him, on knowing other Holocaust survivors. Mm-hmm. And I've known quite a few, and they all have very different stories.
Yeah, they do. Their stories are deep.
And also, I think it leaves a mark that just goes through generations. I've never been in a Holocaust, but I still feel that in my cells, in my body, in my psyche, there's these centuries and centuries of persecutions, of pogroms, of having to flee in the middle of the night. They just stay with you for centuries, I think, thousands and thousands of years, even. They're just in your bones.
I agree. Yeah, I believe we have almost like cell memory, like soul memory when we're born. And we can carry some of those memories with us. We're actually coming very close to the end of our show. So I want you to share some of the things that you're going to be doing, some of your hopes and aspirations with families and your work. So Mark, what do you have planned as soon as we can break out of our homes?
Well, I've been saying for many years, there should be a mentor in every family. And so I want to, this year, really put together a training program so that people will have a set way that they can go in and mentor families. And I believe that by getting that infiltrated into family structure, great things will happen, because these are universal virtues that we espouse, and we give a lot of space for people to discover who they are and how to have cooperative relationships. So that's what I'm planning on, is really developing the family mentor concept.
And so you're saying that within the family themselves, you're not going to bring a mentor in from the outside. You're going to train somebody in the family to be the mentor?
Thank you. That's very insightful. Both are true. We want to have one lead person who really gets it. Uh-huh. And then we want to, of course, have them have a mentor who can come into the family and do what they need to do. Of course. Absolutely.
Oh, that's a great idea. Almost like find the mentor in the family and then give that mentor a mentor outside the family. And that keeps everything nice and strong.
That's Maria, what's in today's world? Keep it strong.
Yeah, we need to be strong. We're going to need to, we're going to really need to be strong when we come out of this crisis that we're in right now, this COVID crisis. It's going to take us a while to get our footing and our balance again, but hey, we're humans, we're strong. It's what we do. We survive. And I believe we will. Maria, what's in the future cards for you?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say more about what Mark said, which is, I think it's so important within the family. Well, respect and listening to each other and validating each other is so important. I think that what was so lacking in my own family was a lack of validation, lack of listening and really hearing. Well, I want people to read my book, buy my book, read my book, which is a very interesting book. And then I want to go on. I have other books I want to write. I have several books that are half written that I've written rough drafts of. And I'd like to do a nonfiction work on called Homeless in Albuquerque, because we have so many homeless. Mm-hmm. And we live quite close to a whole group of homeless buildings, foundations, people on the street, people with their tents on the sidewalk. So I'd like to get it on every legislator's desk, if I could, to have them see them as individuals. Mm-hmm. Just doing individual portraits of people who are homeless and who they are, other than being this ragged person on the street. What were their lives before? What were their hopes, their dreams?
Yeah, that would be a really interesting book. Yeah, really, really interesting. I've often wondered, what happened? Where did they come from? Because every single one of those people at one point were loved by a parent, even if it was for only a nanosecond. They have a mother. They have a father. What happened? I think that's great. So give us your contact information one more time. Dr. Mark Schillinger, how can we find you?
Find me two ways. The work that I'm doing with young men, you can find us at info@ymuw.org. If people want information about the work that I do with parents and coaching young men, they can find me at info@challengingteenagesons.com.
Mm-hmm. And Maria?
My website is mariaespinosa.com, spelled just like my name, MariaEspinosa, Espinosa, Espinosa. Yeah. And look me up. You'll see my books and much more about my books on my website. Buy my book. Read it. My brother says it's the best book I've written.
Great. Okay. Everybody heard it.
Isabella said she couldn't put it down. She just read it till 2 in the morning.
Oh, great. Sounds like a real page turner. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show with us today. We've actually come to the end of our show. And I want to thank you, the audience, for making Dreaming Healing such a great success. If you don't want to share your dreams with us live, we're going to be doing a dream show next Tuesday, day after, week after this coming Tuesday, you can email them to me on my website, which is thequeenofdreams or KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, and I'll read them on the show with your first name only for privacy. And for the new listeners tonight, there is a free gift for you in the upper right-hand corner of my website, The Queen of Dreams. Go there, click on it. And there's also a promotion package for you published authors who need help getting your work promoted. And if you are a writer and would like to be in our third and last book of the Sacred Stories of Transformation, it's called Mayhem to Miracles. I'm collaborating again with Sacred Stories Publishing, Dennis Patoko of BizCat 360 Magazine and Creative One Marketing for advertising. And we've got a whole handful of marketing people working with us. So just go to sacredstoriespublishing.com book project, click on it. We are still open for accepting stories. For those of you living in the Palm Springs area who watch this show, and I know there's a lot of you, the next magazine, Desert Health, is coming out. And I've got an article in there from the show last week on dreams, having your angels come into your dreams, your spirit guides, and it deals with feathers and monks. So until next time, remember, everybody dreams. But some dreams save lives. Good night, everybody. And thank you again, Pam.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O'KeefeCannavis. Or The Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.